Jesus celebrated the Passover. Everybody celebrated the Passover. All Jewish people celebrated at Jesus' time. There's no reason to think that he hadn't celebrated the Passover. Let me move this a little bit so that people don't have to keep leaning forward there. How's that? That he had celebrated the Passover, well, if he was around 32 years of his life. This year, in many ways, the celebration was going to be the same. The same questions, the same four cups of wine, the first three and the laughing and the celebration, the same unleavened bread that they would eat. It would go the same way. It would be a celebration. People looked forward to the Passover meal, and they still do. It's not a time to be sad. It's a time to look forward to good things, to remember how faithful God has been. And it's a time to drink. It really is. There's a lot of wine that goes through this. By the end of the meal, there's giggling. There's people saying things that they normally wouldn't say. And the disciples were kind of part of that. They loved the Passover meal. But this year, on this Last Supper, Jesus did a few things that were different. He knew that the time of his death was near, and that changed things. So there's this foot washing thing. We've done that here at Union Congregational Church before. We're not going to do it tonight, but this foot washing thing, I can imagine at the beginning of the Passover meal, and it's not even an imagining thing, at the beginning of the Passover meal, there's a ceremonial hand washing where one person takes a basin filled with water, small one, and a towel, and walks around the table, and everybody dips their hands in and washes them, and then dries them off on the towel. It's a ceremony. It's part of the celebration. I can imagine that when that was happening, that Jesus got a thought. Hey, you know what? I can teach these disciples about service to God and to one another in a way that reminds them of this part right here. This time, I'll wash their feet just like a servant does to those who enter the house. And that's what he did. And Peter did not get it right away. By the way, Peter was really good, like the best at not getting it. Really good at that. The rest of the disciples were pretty good at that too. But after Jesus explained it, Peter not only understood, well, at least a little, but he wanted the full treatment. You know, not just my feet, but my head, my hands, wash everywhere. And Jesus' response was kind of a little like this. He said something like, "Hold on there, Rocky, this will be just fine. You get what I'm trying to teach you. I want you to serve each other in the same way and with the same attitude that I have served you. Be humble and treat all with mutual respect." He called him Rocky because some of you learned that in Sunday school. Petra, the Greek word for rock. That's Peter's nickname. His name was Simon, and Jesus called him Rocky. Rocky Balboa, Rocky on Survivor right now, it's Rocky. He called him Rocky. Jesus also had a small comment about Judas Iscariot. Did you catch it in there? He said that not all of you are clean. And the writer of John, I said a few weeks ago that the writer of John really doesn't like Judas. He calls him a thief. When Mary was pouring out the perfume on Jesus' feet, John calls Judas a thief because he said he didn't care for the poor. He just was always, he wanted more money to steal. John's hard on him again. Jesus, though, Jesus is the one that we see throughout the Gospels as the one who always has forgiveness in his heart. So Jesus doesn't really say anything but, "Not all of you are clean." And then John adds the parts there saying that Judas was going to betray Jesus and the devil had entered him. John really holds that anger and that hate for Judas. But the description then continues. The Last Supper in tonight's passage, it goes on. And actually, there's a part in there that we didn't read where Judas leaves. And what's missing from this particular passage is the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Last Supper, the part with the bread, the part with the wine that everybody remembers, what we're going to do tonight. But let me tell you a little bit about that. You see, at first it says, you know, during supper he went and washed the feet. So they'd already started. They'd done the ceremonial hand washing. They'd probably eaten some of the matzah and drank maybe one cup of wine. There's four or five times during the meal that they would break bread and they would eat it. And during one of those times, I don't know which one. You know, there's one breaking of the bread that was sort of at the beginning. They take three matzahs and they take the middle one and they break it. And the leader of the table, usually the oldest male, was supposed to hide that somewhere. And then throughout the rest of the meal, the kids were supposed to keep their eyes open and see where maybe it was. And then at the end of the meal, for the last piece of bread, they had to find the bread. And then they would share that. So they'd look around. Where is that? Where is that piece? I don't know if Jesus was doing it with the hidden bread. I don't think so. I don't think he was playing the game. I think it was earlier. But he takes it, and instead of just, you know, saying, eat this, and sharing and celebrating, then he pulls this is my body thing on them. Given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Passover meal was about remembrance. The disciples, they didn't remember this. They remembered all the right questions. But it was also this celebration. You know, lots to eat, lots to drink. And when Jesus talked about the body, that threw things kind of out of whack. But the disciples still ate. They still began to understand if it's not just a little. They ate the bread. The unleavened bread. I know we use leavened bread now because we don't have a history that teaches us about that. We could use unleavened bread, but we get the meaning, at least a little. Then after dinner, after three glasses of wine at least, Jesus did something different again. We don't know for certain from Scripture because it doesn't say, but it's reasonable to think that Jesus took the fourth cup, and that was called the cup of Elijah. It still is called the cup of Elijah. And it's a cup that's on the table, and the door is actually opened for Elijah to come in, because Scripture would say that Elijah will come back, because Elijah never died. If you look in the Old Testament, Elijah just kind of got taken up and he dropped his mantle down, and then Elisha caught it and continued being a prophet. That old Elijah and Elisha stuff. Well, it was said that Elijah will come back, and Jesus had said that the one wandering in the wilderness, that's Elijah. That's John the Baptist. So Jesus had already said that John the Baptist is Elijah, come back, who's announcing my coming. So it's reasonable to think that he took the cup of Elijah, which you never drank unless Elijah was already there, and that's the one that he shared. So that threw him a little bit, but they got that part, at least a little bit. And then he said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And that threw things out. They didn't get that. They didn't quite get it, at least, but they had been celebrating all of this, and they knew that Jesus was doing things that were different. They drank, and then they understood at least a little. And that was the institution of the Last Supper, of Holy Communion, of the Holy Eucharist. So now let's move back to this evening's passage. Jesus issued a new commandment as part of this whole thing. It wasn't really a new commandment at all, though. It was an old commandment written about in Leviticus, written in Deuteronomy. Jesus wanted the disciples, while all of this old and new was going on, to understand it new. What was the new commandment? Love one another. Three words. That's it. Love one another. The new commandment. You know, Cassie and I, for those of you who don't know, Cassie is my wife. Cassie and I read a book several years back. It's about love. We had been married for 5 years, I think. And we had a pretty good marriage. It wasn't perfect, you know. We got on each other's nerves sometimes, and we didn't always say the kindest things. Raise your hand if you're in that same boat ever. Here's the book. It taught us to pay attention about how others show love for us. It was called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, not the country singer, but the author. Simply put, it says that people express this love in different ways. And here's the five ways that Mr. Chapman said. He said, one is words of affirmation. I'm so glad that you're with me. You're a great person. Quality time. Let's go spend 3 hours at the craft store. I would really love to do that with you. Okay, I'm getting way off there. Receiving gifts. roses, flowers, new things, nice things, things you thought about, acts of service. Hey, guess what? I washed the dishes for you. Raise your hand if you've done that. I finally fixed the gutter. Raise your hand if you've done that. The hot water heater is installed. Did it get done? All right. And then physical touch. Men understand that all the time. You know? But those are five different ways that Gary Chapman says that people express love for one another. And the point of the book wasn't that you got to go out and do all these five things. It was notice how other people are showing love for you. If you notice that, then you'll probably go and try and do something that way. And other people notice that about the way you're doing things. And if the cycle works, then you start showing love for the other person in a way that they understand. And they show love for you in a way that you understand. And you learn to understand different ways of giving and receiving love. Kind of like having a servant's attitude the way Jesus did when he washed the feet. He said that I'm doing this to teach you the way to show love. A servant's attitude. So when we show love for one another, we show it with a servant's attitude instead of an attitude of, what am I going to get out of this? Because that's really not love at all, is it? Jesus taught the disciples about being humble, about treating all with mutual respect. Mother Teresa said this about being humble and about love. I love this. She said, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. So as we share communion tonight, and as we remember, as we celebrate over these next days and in the coming weeks, months, and coming years, let's remember that one thing. The new commandment, the old commandment that Jesus brought new life to. What is it? Say it with me. Love one another. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us your love. Thank you for showing us by example, teaching us to love one another. Amen.